I'm Patrick.
This is Will.
And I'm Chris. And we are Guys with Issues. And today, we're talking about a man who also has some issues. He's got some issues.
Yeah, he
That's
does.
Right. Frank Castle, The Punisher, Punisher Max 1 through 6. Right, Patrick?
Yeah, that's what we read. And just that.
Yeah, yeah. That's all I read.
Take two. Sound more convincing.
Oh,
put
sorry.
Some inflection sorry. In there. And go.
Yeah, that was all we read.
Yeah, we definitely didn't read anything about Vietnam prequels or anything.
No.
No.
Who would do that?
Coincidentally, there's a full, a partial, and a none.
Right, exactly.
So, like, 1.5?
Right.
But
exactly
anyway.
One half of Guys with Issues read the Vietnam.
That's funny. That's too funny. So, before we get into that, Patrick.
Yeah, what's up?
You bringing us anything from the science or tech community?
iPhone just released their new phones.
Oh, for real?
They did an announcement on them, yeah.
They made a totally, like a new version
like
of
a
the
new,
current? Or is it a
16, 16 Pro. They do have...
are they on the 16 or this is a totally new... Like they're on the 15.
They're on
and it
15.
Just,
this is the next one.
Okay. Any fancy new tech?
So on the regular one, they now have the action button that they put on the Pro for the 15.
What is that?
You can assign different like apps and stuff to be opened when you hit the action button, or you can assign it to do different actions.
I definitely wouldn't do that because the way I fat finger everything on my phone, it would be do it. I need it to do it. I would assign it cancel.
There
That's
you go.
What the action
Home.
Is. Of anything that it just cancels anything else.
There you
just,
go. Because
that's the only way it would probably not become a problem.
Right.
Actually, doing that, it would be your problem because you'd accidentally press it all the time and you're like, oh, I'm finally.
I knew you were going to say that.
I'm almost done. Click. No!
So anyway, what else did they add? Anything cool?
They added a camera button, a physical camera button on the iPhone.
Like it, you hit it to take the picture or?
Yep. So you can hit it to take the picture. It has two. So, you know, it's like buttons with two different things depending on how hard you press it.
Yeah.
This only technically has one thing to depress because there's really not a lot of room.
Yeah.
But they do the second part of it with haptic feedback.
What?
Yeah. So the button kind of vibrates a little bit on the second press and you get that you've pressed it and supposedly it feels really good. I have no idea.
It feels like you're pushing a button. Well, I mean, you are pushing a button.
Right. But again, anyway, doesn't matter. It's also touch. So if you just lightly tap it while in the camera app, it'll bring up a small little menu and you can move your finger around and select different things on it.
Oh, well, like a wheel, but
like
all
a wheel.
On the button.
But all
just
on the button.
Sensor.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Wow. That's got to be crazy, like data lattice. Stuff like
no, it's gotta be nuts.
That button itself,
right?
One of those things where if it quits working, you probably should just buy a new phone because it's gonna cost a lot of money. To
probably
have it fixed.
And then they're not going to make it exclusive to their photo app. They will let other photo people, like Instagram and
really
things like that, be able to use that.
That's
button.
Actually really smart.
It is.
That's because sometimes it's their exclusivity that. Kind of works against them.
Right. So, I mean, that was the main thing. They had other stuff, you know, like updates to their
the normal
ear
stuff,
pods
right?
And stuff. And like the EarPod Pros or whatever are now FCC approved to be hearing devices as well.
Like hearing aids?
Yeah.
That's wild.
What?
Yeah.
Okay, that is crazy.
Mm-hmm.
So if you need hearing aids and you have an iPhone, you just go, I'm just going to buy AirPods or
you can.
Whatever.
Yeah, it has to be the Pro, but yeah.
That's nuts.
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh. Wow. That blows my mind that Apple has something that you can be like, yeah, you have the Apple hearing aids, the eye aids.
Right.
I have eye aids.
Stop.
I don't think they'd say it that way. Go.
Don't let him say anything else. Keep moving. Keep moving.
So, yeah, just some cool stuff from Apple.
Nice. That's really neat.
There's probably some other stuff as well they released, but that's the main point.
So I have to throw this out there. My daughter was watching. Do you remember the Nickelodeon show iCarly?
Yeah.
So there was a guy on the show. She was watching it on Netflix or something. And there was a guy on the show that just got a new phone, and they were making fun of him about how big it is. And
and I'm pretty sure it's probably pretty small, right?
I'm pretty sure that it's like the size of or smaller than like everybody's phone.
That's
now.
Hilarious.
But they're always like making fun of how big his phone is in the episode. And I was like, wow, that didn't age well.
No, it did not.
But he's like, it's the Ultra. But oh, it was called the Maxi Pad. The Maxi Pad. Like the Max. Called? It was called the Max Pad 2, which I'm sure was a joke on Maxi Pads,
probably.
Is what it was.
Yeah.
But probably.
It was Max Pad 2.
Or like they mixed that and like the Galaxy Note.
I don't think that existed at the time.
No, true. Or maybe the Galaxy Note is based off of that. Like they watched iCarly and they're like, what if that we just have these massive phones that we could
they're
also,
like people would love it.
They basically double as tablets.
Yeah, I mean that's what Star Trek did. Like with their auto doors, that's why our grocery stores have auto doors. I was watching a whole thing about how the science of Star Trek created the science of like certain tech today.
Oh yeah,
and auto doors are one of those things.
Yep,
I would not be surprised to know that some like person around the right age was watching iCarly, went into college for some kind of tech development, and went, you know, I think it's time for a big phone.
Yep. I could see it.
Totally.
Everybody's going to love.
Am I going next? Are we doing you last? Like we? Did
yeah,
you
we
have
can.
Anything else? Was that the main one?
That was it.
Okay.
I mean, I could.
Yeah, you can go.
You could what?
I could say other stuff, but.
Why? Did you do anything interesting? Anything out of the norm? That's the key.
No?
We should share things that are out of the norm.
Did you read about NASA's solar sail experiment?
Oh, I did do something out of the norm.
Did you go solar sailing?
No, I went to golfing.
Oh, yeah, you did.
I did go golfing.
Sweet, how was
oh,
it?
Oh, no, he has to.
So we did 9 holes.
Yeah.
And on the 8th hole, I broke my driver.
Oh, what did he have to say about that?
That you were not the first person that made that joke. And yeah, the driver head went further than the ball did.
Did you count that instead? Be like,
no. That's
good enough.
We were doing a scramble, so I didn't have to. But
oh, okay. Cool.
Did you tell your old golf partner about this?
I did.
What did he
have
to say?
Yeah, he thought it was hilarious.
I didn't even think about that. He had to laugh
yeah,
so hard.
He thought it was good.
I bet.
Yep.
Wow. Yeah,
be great
that's
to
a
see
good
the
story
look.
To share.
Great to see the look on Patrick's face because he's usually pretty, you know, stoic and placid, pretty straight faced. And so I imagine he kept that the entire time, and he was just like,
yep, yep, I did that. I just held the thing up, and I'm like, well, okay. All right, then. What are you going to do? You get mad? That's not going to change anything.
Nah, no point in getting mad. Nah. That's just silly. But yeah, that
so then
was
we
good...
drove over and picked it up, because it went like 20 yards, man.
That's hilarious.
It flew.
Did you turn around and be like, can I get a mulligan on that one?
I didn't. I was just like, yeah, because I didn't have a driver at that point.
You're like, I'll just take it from here.
I had to get my 3-wood for the whole 9th hole.
Wow. Amazing.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful thing.
Isn't it?
And as Will would definitely appreciate that as the former avid golfer that you were.
Yeah.
So.
I've never seen that. I saw someone try and tee off, drive. He hit the ball somehow, and it went backwards.
I've seen that, too.
It was so funny, because it was at a meet. And so, like, there were, you know, quite a few people there, and they all kind of scrambled.
Technically, I saw a ball go backwards when I went golfing Saturday.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh.
My sister-in-law hit it. And it bounced off of a rock.
And went behind you guys.
And almost hit another golfer.
Dude, that's the worst. My only cool golf story is about when I got stitches, when I got hit with the 5-iron. But that's...
On purpose or on accident?
It was an accident. Mm-hmm. It was my own 5-iron. There was a band back then called 5-Iron Frenzy, and I always felt connected with that band name. I got 10 stitches. Had to be taken in ambulance. Blood everywhere.
It's kind of a shame you didn't get only 5 stitches.
No. Nope. It was 10.
Okay.
There was a lot of blood.
So anyway.
I'm sure it's a memory for everybody who was there, too.
Oh, I'm sure. See, that was the notable thing that happened.
Oh, nice. That was good. That was good. What's this solar sail thing, Will? I want to hear about this.
So NASA created this new like composite material that they want to attach on like spacecraft in order to get it to move. And the way it works
is... solar sails have been in science fiction for a long time.
Yeah, well, NASA's been working on this for quite some time.
Yeah, I remember them testing this years ago.
Yeah. So they finally had something in Earth's orbit that used the solar sails. And from what I understand, the way it works is it uses like the radiation of the sun, like the light particles, to bounce off of it, almost kind of like a mirror, but then it actually can push whatever object it is in it.
That makes sense for space.
And like it is essentially works the same as like a sail in the wind. That's why it's called solar sail. And, you know, it just uses the light of the sun.
You could also use lasers. Go on.
Yeah.
That would be a backup. Like having a big fan for a sail.
Right. Yeah.
Fans for sales don't work. Anyway.
I know.
They were sharing some images, and some journalists were at NASA watching this thing, and all of a sudden it just starts spinning rapidly. And they're like, oh, yeah, this is supposed to happen. We totally anticipated this. It was just like they were testing some stuff.
And then it hit FTL. It spins up.
That would have been amazing.
And they were like, suit up, boy.
We're going to a black hole.
it was just, it's all I had really read about it. I don't know if you had read anything else, saw anything else about it.
And that's why this lately. Time next week when this podcast debuts, the end of the world may have happened.
Yeah.
Because it tore a black hole in orbit.
Unlike what all the people were saying about the Large Hadron Collider when it first started up.
Oh, yeah.
They were like, it's going to create a black hole on the surface
on planet Earth.
On planet Earth and destroy everything. Yeah, that didn't happen.
Would have been pretty epic if it did.
I mean, the likelihood of that happening was not zero.
No. That was the thing. When they turned it on, they weren't 100% sure what was going to happen.
But that's so the same thing with the nuclear bomb.
Yeah. We're not talking about like regular people like you or me. We're talking like people were theorizing that who were like, you know, professional mathematicians, have their PhDs, all that other nonsense. Yeah. We're like trying to predict what would happen because the same thing, like, did you just say like the same as the atomic bomb?
Yeah, because when they detonated it the first time, they were like, they weren't sure that it wouldn't ignite the Earth's atmosphere and kill all life. And they did it anyway. Mm-hmm. They're like, well, I guess we'll find out. Scientists and soldiers.
I'm sure they were pretty sure it wasn't going to do that, but they were like,
the problem is
maybe. And then the general was like, all right, we're gonna do that.
Just push the button, nerds.
See, that's the problem is when you mix science and war, there's a lot of risks that people are willing to take.
And that's why you get so much advancement during war.
Legitimately, though.
Yeah, I know.
Like, because they kind of throw caution to the wind and go, well, no, we want to know.
Exactly.
So can it defeat the enemy or kill all life on Earth? But they're on Earth, so we would win.
Depends on how you look at it, I guess.
Yes. Anyway.
The little thing called mutually assured destruction.
If it hits them first, we win for a little bit.
America.
I don't think America's the only person that has stances on that, but we do tend to be somebody who funds a lot of stuff. Yes. That's the thing.
Yeah, we do.
So, anyway, speaking of funding, I don't have much of wallet punching this week, but I do have some comic news, and I have one wallet punch to a very niche crowd. So anyway, first off, comic news. Rumor mill for casting.
Okay.
Did you guys see that Josh Brolin? You guys know who Josh Brolin is, right?
Yeah, he was in...
I've heard the name.
Okay, he played... Okay, simple... This is oversimplification because he's been in a bunch of stuff. He played Thanos.
Okay.
Didn't he also play some guy in...
He's like, in the Goonies.
Deadpool 2.
He played Cable in Deadpool 2.
Yeah.
There you go.
Okay. Anyway, rumor mill has it, he may have been cast by James Gunn in the new Lanterns series.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
He's going to be Guy, isn't he?
Might be playing Hal Jordan.
Oh.
No.
Is he?
Nathan Fillion is Guy in the new Superman movie.
Oh.
Dude, he's got the... Did I not show you a picture? He's got the bowl cut. They
I don't
did
think
the
you showed me
they
a picture.
Did the like 80s.
Did they? Bowl that cut. Is hilarious.
I wonder if he requested that.
But and he's got like the jacket.
Wow.
But the JSA is in the movie and they all have they're funded by Maxwell Lord and so their uniforms are not like his uniform is not standard like a Green Lantern uniform. It's his JSA uniform from the movie. Anyway, I'll show you what Guy Gardner looks like.
Yes.
Maybe you should post this. You should post that.
I should post it.
So a fun bit of news. Destiny turned 10 yesterday as of recording this.
Yeah, I read a little bit about this.
And they did make announcements about what they're doing down the road and how they're going to continue to support the game. They're going to do two medium-sized expansions a year, and they're going to do four seasons. They're going back to seasons. They're leaving the episodes, which makes me laugh so bad because they switched it for 1 year, and they're going back. But they're free. You don't have to pay for them, though.
Huh.
So they're making the four seasons a year free.
The four seasons, though.
The four seasons hotel chain is going to be free for all Destiny players. And they're bringing back Icebreaker at some point soon, which is cool.
Interesting.
And they released a new armor set. And for the 10-year anniversary, it's the original concept art armor, which is kind of cool. And they are releasing... they have a legend title now. You can actually become legend. You can get your title.
It's about time.
So, yeah, that's they had to come out and stir up some... positive news around them, I think. I think it's about time they came out and started talking with all of the negative press that they've been having.
Yeah.
So well, it's good.
With all the layoffs and...
Yeah, I mean... but anyway, so... But here are two wallet hits for you. For those of you who might like hobby painting, some miniature painting or Gundam or whatever you might do, P3, which is a really good paint line, really... it's mostly through crowdfunding. They have a Kickstarter up, so you can buy specific colors, you can buy tiers, you can buy bottles of tiers, different tiered pledges that
the tears of my enemies
fill my paint bottles. but yeah, so you can buy their paint line, including some previously unreleased colors right now on Kickstarter. P3's got their paint out, and there's a movie release that many people have been excited for. That is Beetlejuice 2. So if you're a fan of the original Beetlejuice and want to see everybody reprising their roles and kind of making a true sequel to the original, it's in theaters now, I believe. So let your wallet get punched by that if you're a Beetlejuice fan.
There you go. Maybe you can pick up a commemorative popcorn bucket.
Yeah, I wonder. I'm sure. I mean, I would think they probably have one. Have I would think so.
Probably.
Either of you like Beetlejuice?
Never watched it.
Yeah, that's all right.
That doesn't surprise me.
Or maybe I did watch it and I just don't.
Michael Keaton's good in it.
I need to watch it again.
But I mean, I was young enough that it was kind of spooky to me.
Right.
I wasn't a big fan and I haven't watched it as an adult. So. Anyway,
speaking of Michael Keaton, this is a kind of a weird tangent, but did you see that Arnold Schwarzenegger and like Danny DeVito were presenting an award at some ceremony and they were on stage together
because they're twins?
Yeah, basically. Okay. And they're like, yeah, we've both been.
Don't worry, I got that. Keep going.
They're both. Yeah. They're like, yeah, we both at one point in time got beat by Batman.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they did.
And they were talking about, oh, yeah, that scumbag. Where is he anyway? And they look down and it's like, there he is. And the camera pans around and it's Michael Keaton. And he's just like death staring both of them like Batman.
Yeah, he's great. I like him.
Yeah.
Seems like an interesting guy, too. But anyway.
Oh, yeah. The Danny DeVito looks at Arnold is like, hey, how did he beat you? He's like, oh, he's my greatest weakness. And Danny says, fire? He's like, no, love. He's like, well, that's dumb. I got thrown out of a window.
That's wow. Good stuff.
Wow. Yeah. That is silly. I'll have to look that up. That sounds pretty funny.
Yep.
Yeah, it was pretty funny.
So, you have a wacky fact for us, or was it the solar sail thing? That was good.
We could just use the solar sail thing.
Okay, yeah, save your facts for next week.
No, nice. Yeah, because I couldn't confirm this, but I heard it on a podcast. Well, and it sounded kind of outlandish.
Well, just see if you can confirm it by next week.
That's what he's saying.
Yeah,
look,
yeah. Stay tuned.
Stay tuned, folks.
So, you know what time it is then?
Snacks?
Yeah, Will tries weird things. And I'm sorry to Christoph and Lorena. I brought something else this week. No. No. We can
wait
save
till
it.
Next week?
It's unopened. It's in a bag.
There you go.
There you go.
Perfect. We'll save it for next week.
Yeah, we'll save it. Yeah. Or whatever week.
Two weeks from now.
I wanted to try them recently, and I thought, I'm not going to open those. I'm going to wait. So, Christoph was the last bag. So, Lorena, it needs to be her turn.
Yep.
Okay. We know she likes to give us tasty things, and Will needs another reprieve. He didn't hate the anchovies.
No, the anchovies were pretty good.
Patrick was the lowest fan, least fan.
Correct.
Reach into a bag of mystery.
Maybe I'm just gonna grab this one. Ooh, what is this?
Some more nuts.
Oh, we only have like two things left in here, I think.
Is it a different nut flavor?
Mexican style mix.
There has to be more than one of these or else it's gonna be awkward. Okay. No. Okay, I'll stop shaking a bag. Okay, so we got a different nut.
Estilo Botana Mexicana.
Is that the same brand?
Same brand, different flavor.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you rip open those nuts.
I'll see if I can.
Well, the bag.
We'll get a picture at some point.
Yeah, it'll be fine. There we go. Wow, what an expert corner tear. That's worth a photo anyway.
Right.
That's a perfect pour for a nut bag.
Perfect pour for a nut bag.
Which is, you know, we just released our...
I knew you were going to say something about Squirrel Girl. Dagnabbit.
Yep.
I knew.
We just released our Squirrel Girl thing, so having a bag of nuts sort of fits.
It's true. Okay, let's see what these are like.
This is more than just nuts.
We've also got sunflower seeds.
I'm not saying anything else.
Oh, there are sunflower seeds in it.
Yeah, more than just nuts.
They're very limey.
Bro.
Got a lot of...
I almost said that. That's why I picked up the bag and looked at it. I would say the lime is the strongest flavor.
I would too.
But...
That's tasty.
You know what it is? It's like if you took peanuts and poured a whole bunch of tahini.
It is kind of tahini adjacent, isn't it? Got some chili pepper spices. I don't even see it. It doesn't even say lime.
But that's
it's got pumpkin seeds as well.
Oh.
But those are tasty.
Yeah, those are really tasty.
Thank you for the cacahuates.
Incredibly tasty. That'd be a good beer snack.
Oh, yeah. That would go great with beer.
Let's find out.
As you both take a drink. Confirmed?
Confirmed.
Oh, yeah. Confirmed.
Oh, ooh, that's...
We get like a michelada with those.
That's because it's kind of got that vibe of bar snack mix,
yeah.
But with lime.
Right.
It's kind of like that kind of vibe.
I think it'd go really well with Blue Moon.
Or like a Corona.
Or a Corona or a, why can't I think of the name of it? Dos Equis.
I like Dos Equis.
Or a Modelo.
Well, that makes sense.
Right.
just say all the Mexican style beers.
What did you bring to my house that one time? That Mexican style beer. Was it Modelo? Or was it something else? It was in like small brown bottles. It wasn't tall necks. They were short.
Yeah, I think now you say it.
I don't remember what they were, but they were good. It was really good.
I don't remember either.
It might have been Modelo's, but I'm not sure.
Yeah.
But they were good.
They were good.
So thank you, Lorena. Those were delicious.
Absolutely.
We appreciate that you have been giving us so many tasty treats.
We do.
Pretty consistently.
Yes.
Oh, and I have to shout out to LW. She gave me a package of ramen.
Nice. She gave me one too.
And I already had it at my house. Because I'm a weirdo and buy like the expensive different kinds of ramen.
I've done it. Don't worry. Have you got the really, really spicy ones like from Korea?
Yeah, those are so good, but they are hot.
They are legitimately spicy.
Is it email time? Are we checking the mail?
Might as well.
Pop that mailbox open.
Time to be the mailman. I think I closed it. Open it back up.
Because you saved this one from Christoph.
Yep.
I remember you teased us with it last week.
Yes, and it is called Excited About Knowledge.
We should all be excited about knowledge.
You and Reed Richards.
Ah, Christoph is Reed Richards. I'm just joking.
Hey, guys. It's too nice to be Reed Richards.
Yeah, I was going to say, when are you going to make that ship? Come on.
Patrick is just like, come on.
I want to get hit by cosmic rays.
Yeah, I'll turn into the thing for that.
I just keep getting hit by baby rays. Dang it. Anyway, hey guys. So excited about
sweet baby rays?
Yeah.
Oh my God. Wow. That was a joke on this podcast. That was so beyond. You saw it. I did not even understand what he was saying.
I'm glad I could help you out there, Chris.
Wow.
Yeah.
Anyway, hey guys, so excited about the upcoming bonus episodes. I love the idea, and if you ever need to borrow it starts with the Abomination as the first character. I want you to each guess.
Stop for just a second and look at the attachment.
It's a picture of a Marvel Encyclopedia New Edition with an introduction by Stan Lee.
I have one of those.
Okay, so that's what he meant by take a look at my...
I have one in my van right now.
Nice.
I should just bring it in and...
Do you have more than one? Do you just like keep one like in your car?
One at work? Toilet,
one by your bedside? Just be like, oh, I need to look this up real quick.
You know what'll blow your mind is I don't have a DC encyclopedia.
Oh, what?
Who are you and what have you done with Chris?
I bought the Marvel one in high school. That was before I got into DC, okay? That was before the Marvel movies too, okay? Okay. Other than Tobey Maguire's Spider-Man.
But yes, that is what he meant by check out borrow my Marvel encyclopedia.
Nice.
It starts with the Abomination as the first character. I want you each to guess which one is the last alphabetical Marvel character you can think of.
Zygote. I don't know.
This isn't going to be right, but I'm going to say Zenyatta.
Anyway, keep reading your email.
Zebra Man. I don't know. We're all reaching here. I am glad to hear more of the colors are coming along in the Green Lantern saga. The orange guy sounds like a really swell guy. Fig salami was the latest of the snacks I added to the bag, so the shaking was not very successful, but I am glad you enjoyed it. We did the best we could, Christoph. It was a full bag. Patrick, is your pin number 9999?
Yes.
Oh, yay! He doesn't have to guess anymore.
Right.
Wow.
Wow.
But I'm going to have to go change it.
He says, am I getting closer? So the answer to that, Christoph, is yes. You just nailed it.
Ding, 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 ding. You won.
You just saved yourself years of work just by guessing.
Congratulations.
I will have you know, I was laughing out loud so much in my car at the paranormal pants joke.
Oh my
darn right. It's a great joke.
I thought for sure the psychic would wear see-through pants.
Because they're like ghosts pants?
Oh.
You're like, why are you looking at me?
That's not my joke. That's Christoph's joke.
I am loving the Stump Patrick with a Pun section of the podcast.
Oh, I forgot again.
I got two.
Okay, well, there you go.
question time for Professor
Chris. I thought
of it
earlier, and then I totally spaced it. Because I kept looking. I did look for one a couple times, and I was like, nope, I know he knows that. I know he knows that. Okay.
Come on, you can throw me some softballs.
Ones that I know you know, right. Just to make you sound even cooler.
Exactly.
So what is this question this week? Maybe he's going to stump me. Maybe this is him stumping Professor Chris.
How long has the Green Lanterns been around for in our real world? When was the first ever appearance of a Green Lantern in comics, and who was it? It was Kilowog, wasn't it?
Okay, so technically the Green Lanterns as we know them now, being part of a core and like the battery recharge and all of that. I believe Hal Jordan debuted in the first Green Lantern appearance. I want to say in 1963. That might be wrong. Early 60s, I know, but I want to say 63. But I'm not sure.
Okay.
Before him, like decades before, Alan Scott was the Green Lantern. I think he showed up in the Sinestro Corps War. He was the one, he wears the cape and has the daughter, Jade.
Okay.
Yeah.
But so he's the original Green Lantern. He was part of the Justice Society of America, which was way back, like in the, I don't know, 40s, maybe. And the thing about that is that but his power is magic based. His lantern is actually like a train lantern, like the kind that used to hang on the front of trains. And his power is considered like magic or paranormal. He'd be more in line with somebody like Constantine or Zatanna, somebody like that.
His daughter,
Alan Scott, is the original Green Lantern, but not the Green Lantern as in the core.
Yeah. Because it was his daughter that Kyle Rayner fell in love with. And
yes.
She died, and he got her magic core and became Ion.
Nice.
I remember that much. So,
1960. Green Lantern 1 was 1960. I said 63. It was 1960.
So, wow. I believe, so close.
I believe. Yeah. Anyway.
Can't wait to see what the Indigo Rings do. Do they make ink stains on everyone's clothes?
Wow.
I'm going to guess yes.
I'm going to guess that is one of their powers.
Sure. Ink stains.
It's possible.
Okay. All-American Comics 16, July 1940 was Alan Scott's first appearance.
Nice.
So that's a long time ago. Hal Jordan's first appearance was actually Showcase 22, 1959. So I looked up Green Lantern issue 1, but I could tell by the cover that it wasn't his first appearance because I know what the cover looks like for his first appearance. I believe I know somebody that owns it.
Interesting.
It was expensive, but I'm very jealous.
Sure.
Anyway, that was it. Yours truly, the Hunter of Superboy, the Nutso to the Butso, the So Much Redacted, the Sixth Sheik, the Ying to LW's Yang, the Extreme River Crier, the Podricuted, the King of Emails, the Holder of the Periwinkle Ring, the Hater of Duck Eggs, the Disappointed Deadpool Variant, the Alpha Emailer, the 26th Second Sign-Off Champion of the World.
Wow. You should read that like epic, like announcer voice, that last one.
The 26th Second Sign-Off Champion of the World!
Amazing.
Christoph!
Thank you for your email, Christoph.
Yeah, it was good.
It was, and you did stump me. There was a time where I could have told you a lot of first appearances, but that is like, those are those factoids that have leaked out of my brain pan over time.
Right.
But yeah, so a long time, like legitimately, the Silver Age for Hal, but like 1940, that's Golden Age, original comic books, Alan Scott. So, crazy.
Are we going to do the stump the Pat?
Yes. Okay. Yeah, take it to him, Wilhelm.
All right, Patrick. What do you call a French man wearing sandals?
Felipe Falape.
Yep. Philippe Falape.
That works too.
What do you call a dog who meditates?
I've heard this one.
He just knows so many that it's like I've a catalog, like a library.
Let me just go into my mind palace real quick and dig through the library of...
It's an index card.
I can't remember. You got me on this one, but I've heard it before.
A werewolf.
That's it. Yeah.
What?
A were.
It's a werewolf.
Wolf.
But instead of a...
A-W-A-R-E.
Oh, wolf. Okay.
Yeah. A werewolf.
Yep. Yeah, I knew I heard it before.
Okay.
Yeah.
I would have never.
And then I need to come up with a joke, right? Because I forgot to look one up today.
You can, but I mean, we said that that's... I mean, you generally throw one out anyway.
I can.
So...
I was going to go back to my favorite joke, actually.
Your favorite joke?
Yeah.
Have you ever told it on the podcast?
I don't think so.
I don't know. What's your favorite joke?
Why does Norway put barcodes on their ships?
I love this joke.
I know. It's a great joke.
So they can Scandinavian?
Yep.
I love that joke. Yeah. That is a brilliant joke.
It is.
Oh, I understand why it's your favorite joke.
It is.
It's so good. So
there you go.
Boom. Jokes all around. Mm-hmm. Thanks for bringing two. I appreciate that.
Not a problem.
I looked at several. I can't bring any that are like not questions. You know what? Like there's lots of puns that you just say the joke at the end.
Right.
Like when you're like, oh, you know,
no, it has
to I was talking question. To my wife the other night. She tells me like right. It's just the pun itself. And you know, just...
I have another
metric
joke.
Tons of those. If they were written out, it would weigh a ton.
I have another joke that I need to tell both of you off the podcast.
Okay.
So try to remind me.
We'll do our best.
Okay.
So, Will, it's another moment.
Another moment for me.
I love that the center segment is basically us just going, okay, Will, do the next
yeah,
thing.
Yeah, I know, right?
Do the next thing.
I'm glad I could break it up for you this time.
I do appreciate.
Are you Roombaing?
It's time to Roomba.
Did you watch any more Gundam?
Yeah, a little bit.
Did you get to Romba Rawl yet?
No, I think I just rewatched like I think it's called like the Winds of War.
You should be close.
Where it was like
are they on Earth?
Yeah, they were on Earth. And it was like the two guys in the plane, they try to help the kids.
Oh, the last one we watched, I think, before
yeah.
you left.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, man, that one gets me.
It's so good.
It's so good. Where like the Zeons help the mom and they're like, yeah, yep. That crater. And she's like, oh, that was our home. And they're like, don't go down there. Go back to those other people. But it's like, but then they get shot down, don't they? They die, don't they?
Yeah, because they drop. They're like... Oh, we see this dang mom and her it, kid out there. Let's drop this supply pack down.
To help them.
And then the guy in the Gundam is like, oh my gosh, he's dropping a bomb on that mom and kid. I got to go save him.
Because and he ends they're up like, the enemy soldiers.
Yeah, so he shoots them down, even though it's just supplies.
The whole theme of Gundam, man, is about like the tragedy of war, basically.
Yeah. Yep.
That's like one of the main themes.
Sure is.
And I love it. I love that crap.
Yeah.
Shouldn't call it crap. You know what I mean. I love that stuff.
You love that tragedy.
I love... So anyway.
Anyway. When Frank Castle's wife and children are killed right in front of him, he uses his special forces training to become the Punisher and successfully hunt down the criminals responsible. 20 years later, he's still at it, hunting down criminals to make the world a little safer place. One night, an old associate of his called Micro ambushed him and took him into custody in order to give him an opportunity to work for the CIA. Will the Punisher hunt down all the evil in the world, or will he stay to clean up the streets of New Jersey? Find out with us on Guys with Issues.
New Jersey.
New Jersey.
That I want to already... there's a pet peeve I have with a line they say in this, but anyway, I'm going to bring it up.
Okay.
So, here we go. You ready? You got your notes, Patrick?
I mean, I have notes.
Okay. Patrick, what is your favorite scene?
I don't know. I enjoyed this. So it's hard for me to pick a favorite scene.
Do you want to throw a scene out there?
Yes. I like how he just mowed down most of the mob.
At the birthday party?
At the birthday party.
Yeah, when he takes out that M60.
Yeah, so he walks in, he shoots the
old man, boy. The birthday boy, 103 years old.
Right.
Right?
100. Right. 100. I think it was 100 even.
It was 100.
Oh, I was thinking it was over.
And he just shoots him in the head, turns around, and walks out. And then he's just narrating what they're going to do as he's walking to his gun.
Yeah, I liked those parts.
And then
where he was like, oh, that it'll like a few seconds from now and blah, blah, blah. Right. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Now they're getting mad. Now they're, yeah, and that, yeah. And then.
Because he knows his enemy.
He does. He knows indeed. People.
Indeed.
Yep. So I'm going to go with that first. Yeah,
I like some of those moments like that. Oh, anyway, Will.
I liked when he was taken and he was being interrogated by his buddy Micro. Because,
That was also on my list.
Yeah. It goes to show, the kind of history they have and how, Micro kind of really does understand, Frank Castle. I just wish I could remember the guy's name.
That's it. Frank Castle?
No, the other guy. Micro. It's his real name.
Couldn't tell you. Just call him Micro.
Micro. It just sounds like Mike Rowe from Dirty Jobs.
It does.
Instead of Microchip?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just to say Micro. But it felt like it had a lot of depth there, and the art was very dark. Obviously because of he was in an interrogation room, but they had they set the scene very well.
Yeah.
With the art and the words, it all went together really, really well. So I enjoyed that.
Yeah. That has the panel that is my favorite scene. I like when he tells him that how he used the stun rounds on him and how normally one or two is right. All you use. And he's three into you. And I was I better do a couple more just to make sure.
Right.
And it's just
I remember. I think it was four altogether.
Something like that. But I thought that was funny. I was that just shows how tough he is.
Right.
So Patrick, what's another scene you liked?
I mean, liked is things I found interesting, but I don't know if I could say I liked them.
Okay. Well, do you have things to share in the positive section?
I don't know. I think it's when Micro was interrogating him, and his final question in the interrogation room before it goes down is, where is he getting the money from?
Oh, yeah.
Right. He wants to see if it's actually above board or not. Turns out it's not.
Classic CIA spook.
Right.
Selling drugs to fund your program.
Mm-hmm.
That's
the real CIA?
Well, that's spy fiction 101.
Right.
Have you ever seen the movie Lord of War with Nicolas Cage?
I have.
I mean, it's like that, how they want him running guns.
Right.
Yeah. They let bad things take place if it benefits them. So, and heroin trade being a funding for the CIA is a long-standing rumor.
It is.
Yeah.
It's actually the long-standing conspiracy of why we went to the Vietnam War.
Well, there's that you can get all into the war against drugs and with Reagan, all kinds of stuff that has to do with a lot of conspiracy about that.
So
it's kind of interesting.
It is interesting, but we're a comic book podcast.
Yeah.
Not a conspiracy.
But it's related
podcast.
To this comic.
We'll start a third section of podcast called Guys with Tinfoil Hats.
Will, what's another scene you liked?
So it's kind of connected to when he was getting interrogated, but it kind of pays off there at the end. When he told the story of the husband.
Yeah.
Like after his family gets killed, the guy comes over and he's like, yeah, I just divorced my wife. And Frank's like, my wife and kids are dead. And you're going to sit here and tell me that you just cheated on yours and threw her away? And he like throws him out a window.
Well, he tells him to run.
Oh, yeah. He tells him to run.
That's a plot point.
Tells him that was the first.
Yeah.
And then he didn't.
Yeah. To go with Patrick's earlier comment about Frank's internal understanding of his enemy, I liked the part in the last issue where it was telling you the cause of death of each person and like, or if they were unknown whereabouts.
Oh, yes.
I thought that was cool. Because like that it says Micro's cause of death several, like a couple pages before Punisher actually kills him.
Yes.
But yeah, that was, then you knew he was going to. Like, and you knew he was anyway. But I just like that gives it to you a few pages early, so there's a tension while you read that.
Yeah.
I liked that.
That was on my list.
Yep, I enjoyed that. I liked that, how that was done.
It was really cool to see. I bet it had a lot bigger impact for people who've been reading the series for a long time.
I mean, this was a new series, though.
Was it?
Yes. Yeah.
Like, he wasn't, like, in the original?
I mean, he might have been a character in one of the other Punisher series, but this was, like, its own thing.
Oh. Well, never mind, then. Had the exact same payoff for us as it did for everybody else.
Yep.
I'm sure that he was in, like, a previous story arc or something. I mean, I'm guessing that just like Geoff Johns pulls from Green Lantern, that was a character who had been involved. But anyway, Patrick, do you have any other scenes you'd like to mention? Before I ask your favorite character?
The whole thing with the mob grabbing that CIA agent outside the door of the...
Old man
that was on the news and what they did to him, that was just brutal.
Yes.
Brutal.
And he lived.
Yeah.
I mean, I wouldn't call that living.
Nope.
I mean, he wasn't dead.
No, that's true. He was not dead.
Only on the inside.
Right. But yeah, I thought that was interesting how that really set up the person that the mob family called in because they really didn't have any leadership and how evil he is.
Oh, yeah. The guy who got kicked out of the mob family for being too extreme.
Yes.
And then you see that you're like, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, exactly.
There were a number of other scenes that illustrate that as well, but that one solidifies it.
It does.
Yeah.
Especially because they tell him what they're going to do to him before they do it to him.
Right.
Yes, we're talking around it. I'm sure the listener loves it.
Hey, that's fine.
It, like,
they can read it if they want.
If they're of age, just to specify. You know.
Yes, if they're of age, because this is very graphic.
It's not just being of age. You have to be of. You have to be okay with the content in this.
Yeah, true.
Like, just because you're old enough does not mean that you would read that. So, Will, do you have any other scenes you wanted to mention?
I don't think we covered them all. For me,
I don't either. Do you have any others, Patrick?
No, I'm good.
Cool. Who's your favorite character?
I'm going to go with the Punisher.
With Frank Castle?
Yep.
Cool.
He don't take no crap from no one.
No, he does not.
He does what he thinks is right.
How old is that girl? Where's she from?
Right.
Is she hooked on anything yet?
Yeah, exactly.
Walks over. Give her this money. Send her back home.
And you 100% get why he doesn't trust the government.
Well, no. He was a soldier.
Yeah.
In Vietnam.
Well, at least I 100% understand why he doesn't trust the government.
That's because you read the prequel.
Right.
50% understand.
And I've read The Losers, which is the same idea.
There you go.
They're like the exact same idea, actually. So, what about you?
I would also go with the Punisher because everybody else is generally deplorable.
Yeah. So I put my exact thing that I wrote was Frank ? I guess because he's not. I mean, he's not really good. He just has standards.
Yeah,
he's likable. Everybody else was just like annoying, and you didn't mind if they died.
I mean, you could kind of see where Micro was coming from.
He had the best of intentions.
He did. He was wrong, but he had the best of intentions.
Yeah, I mean,
right. The rest of them, deplorable.
Except for the old man. I almost wrote the old man who spoke on the news.
Right. Sure.
He was really the standout for the good people.
He was
just a normal guy who happened to see Frank Castle get thrown in a van.
Right.
And he survived.
He did.
You really weren't sure if he was going.
You weren't, no.
So, Patrick, what's your least favorite scene?
Oh, let me look at my scenes. Scenes from a hat.
Scenes from a pat.
When they cut the elevator string or cables and the elevator fell.
Because of
that's
the
not
science?
How elevators work.
I knew that. That's what it.
No. That's
is
not
it,
how.
Is it how elevators worked 25 years ago?
No.
Okay, just checking.
They've had safety features for longer than that that will stop it, even if it has no power or anything because it's gravity.
I know.
Yep.
Yeah, but entertainment media loves to have crazy elevators.
I know.
Will, what was your least favorite scene?
It was actually when the CIA guy got grabbed at the door.
Oh.
I think his name was like Larry. No, it wasn't Larry.
At the old man's door.
At the old man's door. Yeah, that was just all the other shooting and stuff is fine, but like being tortured like that.
Sure.
They don't really show it, but they kind of show enough to where you're like, It's not good.
Right. I understand.
So my least favorite scene, I don't really have one because there were so many, but I'm going to point out one thing that really bothers me when they make the joke about the New England accent, about the park the car.
Like, oh, yeah, when they're at the diner.
Okay.
They don't say it right. It's supposed to be park the car in the harbored yard. So it's park the car in the harbored yard, right?
Yeah.
But they don't say it. They don't say the ending right. And that bothers me. I know that because I lived in Maine and that was a joke with the people there. And I was just like, how do you mess up like the one, like the park the car thing is what most people talk about. But the actual, if you're going to do the whole saying, it just bugged me that it wasn't the whole saying. Otherwise, this was very Garth Ennis. You guys liked his last book that we did, which was Constantine. He also does, I believe he does The Boys and Preacher and all of those. So all of Garth Ennis is like everything he does is like super vulgar and crass and violent and over the top. Like this is just how he writes everything.
Okay.
So, but yeah, so that's, I just don't like it. Like,
no, that's fair.
I hated O'Brien. All of her
the
scenes.
Woman, yeah.
That I did not
that's
like
fair.
That. I did not like that at all. That was stupid.
It
reminded me of the Mom and Saga. That was just so dumb. Over horny fied characters. It's just too much. There's a point where it becomes non believable anymore.
Sure.
And when you're shot and bleeding out, that's stupid. That's just stupid.
I was gonna say
Where your problem is science, mine is like psychology.
Sure.
That's stupid.
Right. It's understandable.
You and I, yours is mine's the social science, yours is the like physical science.
Right. Yeah.
What were you saying, Will?
Another one of mine would be like at the end when she was talking to Bethel,
yeah, when she's talking to Bethel, the CIA spook,
and he's got like two holes in his legs, and like one of his kneecaps is shot out, and he's just got like another hole in his other leg, and she got shot in the chest, and they had that really stupid exchange.
Yeah,
I'm just like, that's
it's not how that would have worked.
I did kind of like when he got thrown out of the helicopter.
Yeah, that was nice.
Oh, I forgot about that. Yeah.
Also, the guy who couldn't die, like
sure.
The thug, when he was walking up with that fence in him,
embedded in him. Yeah.
You're just like, really, I like how it's like you as a reader had the same response as Frank, where you're like, for real,
right?
But yeah, that was just silly.
Yeah.
That was, but yeah, it was just very Garth Ennis. So.
I still say that sounds like a Star Wars name.
I know. I knew that. I knew as soon as I wrote it down, I was like, we're going to talk about his name again. I just know it. Who was your least favorite character?
The mob boss they brought in.
The mob boss?
Yeah.
That guy?
Nick? Nicky?
Sure, whatever his name is. I didn't care enough about him to remember his name.
What about you?
That's him. My list is Nicky and, or it says Nicky and his henchmen, and then beneath it says everybody else except for Frank.
That's funny. Mine said everyone, but specifically Bethel and the not dying guy.
The not dying guy was a little over the top.
Dude, he was
most of it was over the top.
Yeah, I mean, that was the point, right? But yeah. So, do you guys have anything else you wanted to mention about the comic before we go into rating?
Nah.
Nope.
I do know a lot more as to what's coming up because I did read
like
a decent chunk of what I've bought. And yeah. I have 4 volumes.
Yeah. So,
neat.
Patrick.
Yeah.
What do you rate it?
I'm rating it a 5. I would recommend this to people. I have recommended this to people.
Technically, he recommended it to us.
I know, right?
Yeah.
So, he had to follow his own rules.
I did.
Will.
Me, personally?
What do you give it?
2.5.
2.5? Yeah. Not your thing.
Not really, no.
Yeah? What made you score it so low?
Like, it was 6 issues, but it felt like they only moved like 500 feet, if you know what I mean. Like,
yeah, it was like, it was setting up, really, it sets up the villain because the mob dude got away.
Yes.
Yeah.
And he's going to be a problem then.
But it felt like it took way too long. And like most of it was just guns and violence. I'm like, that's cool if there's also some like funny lines and, you know, some good story happening at the same time, but there wasn't enough other stuff to really keep me interested.
So, I am going to be honest. The first 6 that I read were, that whole story was a better story than the second 6.
It seemed like it.
Well, that 6, your Bourne spinoff series, yeah, came later.
No, but I understand like, that.
But so you're just, I mean, but what we were reading was what was meant to be the first story arc to get people, right, into the comic.
Sure.
So I haven't done this in a while. I'm going to talk about my rating.
Because like, usually it's Green Lantern.
This is old school. And I
talk
just,
about it.
So
it's usually Green Lantern. So we're
wanna,
like, 5.
I want to preface this with the fact that I vaguely think I tried reading this once before. Maybe, and I had forgotten, but I have read some Punisher story arcs that I really like. I really like Greg Rucka's run on Punisher, which is pretty short, actually, and it involves him. He introduces like this woman that the Punisher kind of works with and semi-trains-ish, who goes through a similar tragedy as him. And Nathan Edmondson also worked on a Black Widow run that was good and a Punisher run that's really interesting. And so I enjoy stories about crime and the mob and Punisher and those types of things. So it wasn't the story. It was just the way it was told and the content. But I looked back over my previous ratings because I had to determine what I would give it according to whether I would read something else that I rated low. And so I based it, I looked at Saga for one, because that was one of my lowest ratings. And Saga, I had given a 2.5 because of the artwork. That was a big part of it. But so I gave this the same as I gave Umbrella, which is a 2. But I read more of Umbrella Academy because I went on and read volume 2 in that. And I looked through your book for this,
yeah,
and it looks like they changed the artist and the following issues aren't as grotesquely drawn.
That's true.
Like there's still a lot of violence, mm-hmm, but it's more like blood spatter and not like meat chunks and, yes, like internal organs and things.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And I can enjoy. So there's also this problem I have, because there was a ton of F word in this, like almost every page, multiple times a page.
There was.
And I can watch a movie that can be kind of vulgar and kind of tune it out some. But when I read it, I absorb it a lot more. And that reading the F word a lot just always bugs me.
And it was in there a lot, because it was in there like multiple times per speech bubble.
Yeah, it's
when it was like the mobsters talking.
I love the movie The Godfather, but I cannot read the book. I've tried. And the content and the book is way more crass and vulgar at times, and has the opening scene of the book is like, it sets a tone that is pretty vulgar. So it's just that kind of content I struggle with in a written form, especially.
Sure.
But I love like the Punisher. Did you ever watch the Jon Bernthal Punisher for the Netflix one?
Oh, I did.
Dude, that's so good.
I think they did two seasons.
They did.
I only watched the first one.
The first one's really good. But like it vibes kind of like this.
That's what I was hoping for.
It's just this is like that but stepped up, you sure. know what I mean?
Well, so, this feels like it happens after that, because the Netflix
older,
series,
right?
Yeah, because they're like, that's why I guessed it was about 20-ish years after his family had died.
Well, he mentions how old he is. Like, he sounds old when he talks about him,
because
in the scene
in the interrogation
he
Mike
said he's been
like,
doing it for 40 years or something like that.
Yeah,
it couldn't have been 40, because his
doesn't
kid,
he say 40
because he in 40. The interrogation he's like, your son would have been 35 and your daughter would have been 33 or something like
so they
that.
Round up, but they say 40. I'm pretty sure. I think they say the word 40.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
It'd be 40 if you count his time in Nam.
If you count his time in Nam, sure.
So I think the point is he's been murdering folks for 40
years.
For
40 years, yeah,
pretty much.
But that puts him like in his late 50s or early 60s in this.
Yes. Yeah.
It would have to. So he's got that like steel cord tendon old man muscle is what it is.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Anyway.
So did we? Oh, we did. We know what we're reading next week. Oh, and we didn't rate it out of anything. We just gave it numbers.
We did.
Wow. We slack.
Well, what would you suggest?
Stun rounds.
Stun rounds. There we go.
So 5, 2.5, and 2. There we go. So next week, Patrick, you know, we assigned him with finding an independent comic.
Yeah, I saw that.
He's chosen James Tynion's Something is Killing the Children, 1 through 5.
Yep.
It is on Comixology. It is also on a comic app. I wanted to give this a shout out. It's called Global Comics with an X. And it's heavily focused on comic companies that are smaller than the big ones. It's like a lot of independent companies. It's got a lot of manga. It's got Image Comics and Boom Studios stuff. It's on there as well.
Interesting.
So
I'm gonna have to check it out.
They do have a preliminary sign up of 99 cents a month for 3 months as a first time sign up. So you might want to pay like the $3 instead of whatever Comixology would do it. Also, yeah. Amazon, if you want to pick it up, or Chimps. Chimps, I know, has it. I've seen it there in the past. I want to say that it's probably like 10 or 12 bucks to buy the graphic novel.
I just picked it up on Libby.
Oh, that's right. My Libby doesn't work anymore, so I can't.
So, there you go.
Fun.
So you can get it for free on Libby.
Yep.
If you're reading along. Something's and Killing the Children, Volume 1.
Library has it.
Yeah, that could be. No. Oh, another fact I'm going to throw out about this reading, in case anybody reads along. I saw that the reason it's 1 through 5 is it was originally a 5-part miniseries is what he was given. So this first story arc was meant to be a standalone, but then the series was popular and continued.
Okay, that's good.
But yeah, there you go.
Wonderful.
Fantastic. 4.
I'm Patrick.
And this is Will.
And I'm Chris. And we are Guys With Issues.
Dumb.
You can catch Guys With Issues anywhere you can find your favorite podcasts.
Or check out our website at guyswithissues.com. where you can listen, find reading lists to follow along, and get to know us better.
Send us emails to longbox@guyswithissues.com and tell us your thoughts or send us suggestions on what we should read next. We would love to hear from our listener.
If you stabbed him right now, that would make for an That would make for an interesting moment, though.
Stab Will's good for the podcast.
As long as it's not fatal.
I wouldn't stab you, Will.
At least in the front.
No, not even in the back.
Wow. It's like a friend or something.
No, Captain Shenanigans, on the other hand.
He'll stab you in the back.
Yeah, he will.